It is quiet in here tonight, but yeah. So I want to share with you tonight, you know, we know that we are going through some pretty hard times in the world right now. We have there's a war going on in Europe over there in Ukraine. There's that. We have our own battles. We have our own political battles here in our country. We're continuing to be divided. But Scripture tells us that people will want to listen to new things. And, you know, Timothy tells you, and there will tell us once we listen to new things that are not biblical. Romans chapter 1 says that God turns them over to a depraved mind because people don't want to do what God wants to do. They don't want God. They don't want to follow God's way. They want to change and do what they want to do. Our world is pretty, Americans falling down in that sinful thing. We have a special month this month and our nation is picking. I don't agree with it, but I love people. I love people. But people also love sin. We're also pushing other things in our country that are just amazing what we push and what we allow and what we're trying to push down our kindergartners and first grade throats. And we see that people just don't want to do it God's way. But, you know, God knew this. God knew this when he sent his son Christ to come and serve and to do miracles and show himself. And he even said that you don't believe, at least believe the miracles. Yet still they turned him over. His own people turned him over, and shouted out, yeah, crucify him. We don't want him. We don't want him. And so, but he died a sinless person and offered up eternal life for those who would call upon him and believe that the Father created, that they created heaven and earth and all things. And this is God's world, but man has turned it upside down and corrupted it with its sin. I won't read the book of Genesis, and we like the book of Genesis. That's the book of beginnings. And we like Exodus. We like the things that we see there and the big plagues, the big awesome things that God does. We go through the book and we see Psalms that helps us through our midnight hour, through dark times when we don't know how we're going to make it through something. We run to Proverbs because we look at some things and we try to figure out and we learn wisdom from Proverbs. And we go through and we see Daniel, a lot of things, cool things there. We see the Gospels, Jesus coming up on the earth, doing all what he's done in the life, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gift of salvation. Then we see the beginning of the church in the book of Acts. We see the rise and the birth of the church. And we see that there are people in the world that want to reach out and grab what God has to offer. And then we see some other letters that's beginning, you know, that Paul writes and some others have written, like James and things like that. But there's one book in the Bible that we're going to look at tonight that is not read as much, and that's the book of Revelation. Sometimes when we go to the book of Revelation, like me, I love to go and talk about seven churches. Love talking about seven churches. Love it. It's one of my favorite places. But also, I like to go to chapter 12. I like to go to chapter 12, see what's going on there, see a little fight, see a little going on there, throwing Satan out, stuff like that, seeing a rebellion there. I also like to look at Revelation chapter 20, 21. Love that. Love the stuff that's going on there. Tonight I want to share one of the dark moments. I want to remind you, as I get ready to read, I want to remind you that God loves people. God loves you. But he will not allow sin into his world, into eternal life. That will be washed away. But how is it washed away? It's washed away by Jesus Christ, by the blood that Christ shed on the cross. I want you to get this out of your mind. Your way of heaven is not what you think. God's word will tell you what heaven is about. Your way of salvation, it must line up with the way God's word has it in his word. There are a lot of people that are following a misconception and a great lie that they are good with God. There are a lot of people that believe that they are good with God because something they did with the age of 11. Now, there are a lot of young people. There are a lot of people that got saved when they were young. I believe that. But there are a lot of people believing in a lie that they have come to Christ at the age of 8, 10, 12, 20, 40, 50. but they have shown no evidence of their salvation. Matter of fact, they couldn't even really tell you when. They just know how kind of how it happened, and they're going off of something of an experience, of an emotional experience. When we're going to pick up here in the book of Revelation, the seals have already been broken. Now, some of you are not going to know what all that is. You can go back and dig it up. But this is end times. And let me remind you, Satan does a lot of work, but I'm going to tell you, God holds it all together. Because this stuff makes people very scared. This is why people avoid the book of Revelation. Seals are a great piece to read, but we're going to pass that tonight. Also the trumpets. We're not going to talk about the trumpets tonight. There's a few woes. We're not going to talk about those tonight. We're even going to go past where people have already taken the mark of the beast. Now, I believe in pre-trib. There are others that believe in mid-trib and people that believe in post-trib. Basically, it comes like this. There are 7 years of tribulation. Pre-trib means that Jesus Christ is going to come and call his family, his people, his believers up into heaven, and then and that's the beginning, and it begins. The believers don't have to go through all the stuff. Mid-trib is right there in the middle of it. For 3.5 years, mid-trib is that Jesus is going to come in the middle of tribulation. The first 3.5 years, it's not as bad as the last 3.5. The second, the 3.5, the last half of it is really bad. A lot of people believe, some people believe, I want to say a lot, some people believe in mid-trib, that Jesus is going to come in mid-trib, right in the middle of tribulation. And then there are those who believe in post-trib. They believe that the Christian's going to have to go through, if a Christian is alive, they're going to have to go through all 7 years of the whole time of tribulation. So I believe in pre-trib. I believe a lot of people that I know here believe in pre-trib. The majority of people that I know believe that Christians believe in pre-trib. I believe right now that the Christians at this time are gone. We're with Jesus. But there's still a world here. There are still people here. There's 144,000. I'm going to tell you that doesn't mean 144,000 people that... does not mean that the 144,000 people mentioned in God's Word, they are not special people that are the only ones going to go to heaven. There is a group that believe that that's how many only people that are going to go to heaven. Every time someone asks me that, I say, are you one of the 144,000? No, I'm not. I'm like, wow, how good, you know. But I believe, so the 144,000 Jewish people believe they're going to share the gospel in this time. Okay? So, here's what we find out. We're past the two witnesses that already came. We are now here at this moment here in chapter 16. Now, I want to read up here in chapter 15 and verse 5. After this, so John has been given a revelation by God so he can see these things as a prophetic piece, as a revelation. After I looked in the heaven, and the heavenly sanctuary, the tabernacle of testimony, was opened, out of the sanctuary came seven angels and with seven plagues, dressed in clean, bright linen with gold sashes wrapped around their chests. One of the four living creatures, now living creatures, you can go back and you can read that. I don't want to get all up into that, but they're pretty awesome. The description is pretty awesome. Living creatures gave the seven angels seven gold bowls filled with the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. Then the sanctuary was filled with smoke from God's glory and from his power, and no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Did you hear that piece? That the gold bowls were filled with the wrath of God. We love to talk about the love of God, and we do. We need to talk about it. There is a love of God. There's God's love, his patience, his mercy, his forgiveness, but there is a wrath of God that is going to be poured out. And if you can think about how big that wrath is, think about how big God's love is. God does things in a big way. He's got big patience. He's got big mercy. He's got big forgiveness. But he also has big wrath. And there's a lot of people. Now we're going to look at chapter 16. We're going to look at what these bowls are, what is inside these bowls. Then I heard a loud voice from the sanctuary saying to the seven angels, go and pour out the seven bowls of God's wrath on the earth. Nothing is going to change that. This is going to happen. Nothing is going to change that. This is a revelation of what is to come, and there is a part here, there is a part that God's wrath is going to come on the earth, and it's going to come in this form. This is the first bowl. Here we go. Verse 2. The first went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and severely painful sores broke out on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. So the people that chose to take the mark of the beast, that is the Antichrist, so they can go out and buy food, they can go to the hospital, they can do whatever they need, they can do and be and get all the things that the world is offering. This mark of the beast. These sores have come up on the mark of the beast, all the people that have taken the mark of the beast. Now I want to remind you that the New Testament and the Old Testament, they mirror one another. You're going to hear things that's going to be almost representative of the same thing that happened in Egypt. Okay? You remember what happened in Egypt? The boils, all that? So here we go. So the first part here, now they are feeling a physical pain. Okay? So they have this physical pain. Why? Because they are carrying the mark of the beast. Okay? We're going to read here that these people know God. They know about God now. They know about God. It's not hidden. But they hate God. Why? Because they want their sin. Okay? Now, it goes into verse 3. This is the second bowl. The second poured out his bowl into the sea. And it turned to blood like a dead man's. And all life in the sea died. All life in the sea died. Kind of reminds you about Egypt and the Nile, right? So it is blood. Listen, this is not good stuff. Why is this happening? It's happening because man turned his back on God and sinned and did not want to take care of their personal sin with Christ. We're going to read this in a minute. Now the third bowl, in verse 4, the third poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. Now, it's very important to hear that because what happens is now all the streams and all the springs, they're also turned to blood. Man needs water to live. This is how we know it's really coming to the end. There is nothing that they can drink. But also we know this. They still have the sores on their body. Now, if you have a sore, you know where it is. Think about having sores and boils on you. Okay? These people are going through it. And we're only at the third bowl. But he says, you are righteous. So I heard the angel of the waters say, you are righteous. Who is and who was the Holy One? And for you have decided these things. Because they poured out the blood of the saints and the prophets. You also gave them blood to drink. They deserved it. So this is them coming, receiving this because of the blood that they had poured of believers and the prophets. Okay? So it's as though now they're drinking the blood. Then I heard someone from the altar say, yes, Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. This is God's judgment. This is not man's judgment. This is God putting judgment on the world. Okay? Now we go to the fourth bowl. The fourth poured out his bowl on the sun. And he was given the power to burn people with fire. And people were burned by the intense heat. So they blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues. And they did not repent and give him glory. There's a lot going on right here. So now the blessing of the sun that God has given us all these years of giving us the great light, you know, light so we can see the warmth of the sun, now becomes a curse to man. Now it is burning people up. People are catching on fire. But what did they do? They didn't call out to God and seek forgiveness. They didn't call out and repent. They didn't say, we seek forgiveness. We turn. What did they do? They blasphemed God. You would think that people would turn from their sinful ways. But sometimes when people get into their sinful life, they just get hard and harder and harder and harder. Remember, they're walking around with something that we're not going to be walking around if we're believers. They're walking around with the mark of the beast. They are walking around with boils and sores on them. There are also many of them all burning up with fire, and their pain and suffering. And they blaspheme God. Basically what they're doing, they're cursing at God. But that's not the last bowl. Now there's the fifth bowl. And the fifth bowl has been poured out, his bowl, on the throne of the beast. And his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Does that remind you of Egypt as well? The book of Exodus says it was so dark that you could feel it. That they could feel it. People gnawed their tongues because of their pain and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, yet did not repent of their actions. Basically what it is now, they're just almost like they're not in hell, but hell's on earth now. Huh? It's almost like that. They're out, like right outside the gates of hell. I mean, they're not there yet. But this is the pre-part of what's happening. They are in serious pain and suffering, yet what are they doing? They're not turning to God, they're blaspheming God. And they're gnawing at their tongue, and they're like chewing on their tongue because the pain is so suffering. They're so painful. And they're suffering with it. Remember, they have taken the mark of the beast. And they're in darkness. Remember, that's the ninth plague in Egypt. And now we have the sixth bowl. There's a sixth bowl. It's kind of an odd bowl, but we're going to work through it. The sixth bowl poured out. The sixth poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. There's a reason for that, because of this Euphrates. They couldn't come over. Euphrates is a big wide river, so this God allows it to dry up. So now all the armies are going to come and drive through now, because it's going to dry up. They're going to drive through because they're going to declare war on God. Okay, they're going to declare war. So it dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Then I saw three. Now here we go. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming from the dragon's mouth, from the beast's mouth, and from the mouth of the false prophet. This is the false. We have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Satan's copy, pretty much. Okay? It is a false. I can't even think of the word I'm thinking of now. But these are the evil ones. This is here. The beast, the false prophet, and the dragon. For they are the spirits of demons performing signs who travel to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for the battle of the great day of God the Almighty. So these demons are doing. They're performing these miracle things and signs, but they're using it to deceive people, to be reminded to keep pulling toward the beast. Keeping your eyes on the mark of the beast. Keep your eyes focused. We have a reason. We're going to destroy. We will win this battle. It's keeping people and deceiving people, deceiving the world. Isn't that what Satan does? He is a deceiver. And they want to line it all up. There's this little piece here. It says, look, I'm coming like a thief. This is Jesus, the one who is alert and remains closed so that he may not go around naked and people see his shame see his shame is blessed. So they assembled them at the place called, in Hebrew, Armageddon. Okay? All the things we see in the world, everything is shifting toward that. Okay? Everything is shifting toward that. If anybody tells you that they know this day when it's coming, and they put it on a, they put the return of Christ on a calendar, or a this day of Armageddon on the calendar, don't listen to them. Walk away. Scripture tells us no one knows the day or the hour but the Father himself. We are given this to be a warning, to remind ourselves to keep our life with Christ, to keep walking in the way that he has called us to live and to follow him. But there is a seventh bowl, verse 17. Then the seventh bowl poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the sanctuary from the throne saying, "It is done." There were flashes of lightning and rushing rumblings of thunder, and a severe earthquake occurred like no other since man has been on the earth. So great was the quake. The great city, that's Jerusalem, split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered in God's presence. He gave her the cup filled with the wine of his fierce anger. Every island fled and the mountains disappeared. Enormous hailstones, each weighing about 100 pounds, fell from the sky on people. That would be an ugly sight, wouldn't it? 100 pounds flinging from the air, landing on people. Enormous hailstones fell on from the sky on people. But what did they do? It says, and they blasphemed God from the plagues of hail, because that plague was extremely severe. People still would not turn to God. They still would not turn to God with all of that that was going on. This is why when people tell me, oh, I'm going to get it right. I don't believe it until what? You see it. Because people's words even con themselves. People believe their own lies. We have to remember that if we're going to say we're going to do something, we need to finish it and do it. We need to keep our word. We need to keep our vows to the Lord and those things. So chapter 17 and 18, 17 and 18 are descriptions of what's going on in chapter 16. It is a very ugly scene. There is a lot of death. People are being crushed by hailstorms. People have been burned up. People are running all over the place. And we see that there's a lot of description in 17, 18. I'm not going to go through that. I want you to go over to chapter 19. Chapter 19. The rider on the white horse. Verse 11, then I saw heaven opened, and there was a white horse. Its rider is called Faithful and True, and he judges and makes war in righteousness. His eyes were like the fiery flame, and many crowns were on his head. He had a name written that no one knows except himself. He wore a robe stained with blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies that were in heaven followed him on white horses, wearing pure white linen. A sharp sword came from his mouth so that he might strike the nations with it. That's how the Lord wins, by the voice and the words of his mouth. God doesn't need cannons. He doesn't need atomic bombs. Christ doesn't need all that. He speaks it. He speaks their destruction from his lips, just like he spoke creation into existence. He said he will shepherd them with an iron scepter. He will also trample the winepress of fierce anger of God the Almighty. And he has a name written on his robe and on his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know who that is, right? That's Jesus. That is Jesus. But what happens? It's a very dark piece here. Verse 17. Then I saw an angel standing on the sun. And let me tell you, how can an angel stand on the sun? Because God created the sun and God created angels, and it's his creation. He can allow them to do. He gives them the power to do whatever he wants them to do. Those angels will do exactly what God called them to do. The angels that didn't listen to God and rebel against God, they're no longer angels, they're demons. They rebel against God. They do what they're not supposed to do. And even when Jesus came on the earth, he would walk places and they would come and fall in front of him. Son of God, son, what are you doing? Is it our time? They were totally fearful. So I can imagine when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes, they are, let me tell you, they're not like juiced up, ready to go. They are scared to death. Then I saw an angel standing on the sun, and he cried out in a loud voice, saying to all the birds flying high overhead, speaking to the birds, come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of commanders, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses and of their riders, the flesh of everyone, both free, slave, small, and great. Then I saw the beast, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to wage war against the rider on the horse and against his army, thinking they are going to destroy Jesus Christ. Let me remind you, when Jesus was on the cross, they didn't say, he gave his life up. They didn't take it. He gave it up so that we might have life. But, verse 20, but the beast was taken prisoner, and along with him the false prophet. They're very, very bad. Who had performed the signs in his presence. He deceived those who accepted the mark of the beast and those who worshiped the image of the signs. So what we have here is the two that got captured. They're the ones that did the signs. They're the ones that got people to do and con and deceive people into taking the number of the beast. But both of them were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. Let me remind you, that's not hell. This is the lake of fire. The rest were killed with the sword that came from the mouth of the rider on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. Birds are going to eat people. And there's a whole lot more going on. And then if you believe in the millennial, there's the millennials going to happen. We're not going to get into millennial tonight. That's a whole night, really. Millennials can be very, very difficult to explain. We're not going there. But I want to talk to you about when it's all said and done, everything's over, everything is shut down. We're going to talk about the great white throne judgment. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be there. If you're a lost person, could have went through all the stuff with the bulls and the trumpets and all that other stuff. But even the people that didn't go through all that, the people that died last year, 20 years ago, 500 years ago, this year, the people that are going to die today, tonight, if they don't know Christ, they're going to be here. How do I know that? Let's read. Then I saw a great white throne and one seated on it. The throne is where the judge sits. And the one that sits on the throne is Jesus Christ. Earth and heaven fled from his presence, and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead. Now, people die a fleshly death. We're all going to die a fleshly death unless Jesus Christ comes and we are raptured up. But we are all called to die a physical death. Those that are saved, those that are not saved. Why? Because we have to go back to the Garden of Eden when man rebelled against God and did what they were told not to do, and they sinned. And because man sinned, man now doesn't live forever on earth but dies. So we all have died. But I also saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne. Listen, the dead will, God, Christ will have all the dead people come back. Do not run into earth anywhere, because earth is not here. They're going to be standing in front. Why? Because it's judgment time. Let me tell you right now, think about your life. People are going to die in a car wreck, and they're going to face God. They're going to face Christ in judgment one day. And there's you can't change what you can't change. Once you die, you can't get a redo. Your redo is right now. You can redo life. You can redo by saying, Lord, I need you in my life. I am a sinner. I believe that you are the Son of God, Jesus, and I want you to be the Savior of my life. I want you to be King of my life. I want to give my life back to you as you gave your life for me. I want to surrender my life to you. You can do that here. I did that. So many of you have done that. But you can't do that after you die. It's done and over. And let me remind you, as sweet as grandma is, as sweet as grandpa was, or mom or dad or brother or sister or aunt and uncle, all these people raising up, a lot of them are aunts and uncles and moms and dads and sweetest of grandmas and grandpas. If they don't know Christ, they are separated from Christ. I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne. This is not about your position. And the books were opened. You know your life is being written right now? There's like a journal being written. But here's the cool part. When you come to Christ and you ask for forgiveness, what has been written about all your sins are now washed away. Now, if anything gives you joy tonight, that should give you joy if you're a believer. The world will bring it up in front of you. You may have to pay a price here. There's consequences to the things we do wrong, but if we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, he says he will, if we confess it, he says he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. He will cast as far as the east is from the west and remember it no more. God's not playing when he talks about, I will forgive you. When Christ says he forgives you, he forgives you. He says, I saw the dead and the great and small standing before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. That's a good book. And the dead were judged according to their works, by what was written in the books. Let me ask you all right now, if you think Jesus would be happy with you, you think you can get into heaven by your works? No, you can't. The Jews thought that's how it was back there, back in the day. Even when Jesus was walking in, the Jews thought that's how you do it. You do it by works. Okay? It's not by works. Okay? Ephesians tells us it's not by works. At least a man should boast. By the grace of God. Okay? But what we see here is people are judged by their works. And if you're judged by your works, you will find out that your works are not good enough. Because a lot of our works and a lot of our actions are very sinful. Okay? All right? It didn't say this person was a little bit less, and this person did a little bit more, and this person was more of a sinner than this person. This person robbed a bank. This person was a homosexual. This person was a drug addiction. This person robbed this person. This person lied. This person committed adultery. No. You know why? Because they're all just one thing. S-I-N, sin. And so what happens is, so he pulls out the book, and they are all judged by their works. Then it says, verse 13, then the sea gave up its dead. So all the people that had died in the sea. And death and Hades gave up their dead. Why? Because at the command of God's voice, the command of Jesus Christ's voice, everything has to obey. Whether they want to or not. Because that's the power of God, right? So it says, all were judged according to their works. So people that were cremated and their ashes were out to sea, resurrected to stand before Jesus Christ and be judged. Whether it was 1,000 years ago, it might have been a war hero on the earth, looked at him as a war hero, but Christ sees their sin. So it's not about how many medals a military man or woman has. They do not impress God. It's, does that person have my son? Is my son in that person? That's all it is. There's nothing good that moves God's heart that a man does that can get him in there. It's, does he have my son? That's it. Does he have my son? And does my son have him? Does he or she know my son? And does my son know him or her? If not, you're going to be judged by your works. And it says, death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is important. This is the second death, the lake of fire. We are all going to die a first death, a physical death. That's your body. Your body's going to shut down. But Scripture says in the beginning of Genesis that God did something with man. He breathed a living spirit into man, which is different than animals and trees, mountains, but he put something special, a living spirit, where man was supposed to live, and there's a spirit in a man, a spirit in a woman. So although the physical body dies the first death, there is a spiritual part of you, your spirit. And for those who have already died and already separated from God, those who are believers that have preceded us in death, their spirit is with Jesus, and Jesus is taking care of them. But they are not whole because they don't have their body yet. That's coming. And so we're not going to get into that. But the lost people, they themselves are all, they are not with Christ. They are in a place we call, what we call hell. A pain and suffering. Lake of fire is different. So now they have to die this second death. So this is the second death, which is the lake of fire. And anyone not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Now people say, man, God is so mean. God is so angry and God is so mean. Listen, it isn't that God is mean. God's just cleaning the house. God has his time of grace is he given grace to man because man chose to rebel against him. People would create idols and statues and worship things of wood, clay, and metal and gold and silver, and people would worship those but even though Scripture says even though they knew God, they would still worship these other things because man kept pulling toward sin. And God saw that, but he loves man. We see in John 3:16 that God loves people so much that he gave his son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. They don't have to go through the second death. Why don't have to go through the second death? If you're a believer, you don't have to go through the second death. But if you do not have Christ, you will go through a second death. And your mom is not going to help you. Your dad's not going to help you. There's no amount of money that can buy it out. It's one simple thing. You don't have Jesus, you don't have eternal life. You'll be judged by your works and you're going to fall up short. You're going to fall short. That's hard. That's a hard teaching tonight. I wanted to go through some more. What happens to us? Maybe I'll get to do that next Wednesday. But this is for people that they keep, what will they do? They keep blaspheming God. I was turning on the radio. I had to turn it away today because it was talking about just pretty much Christians were just really bad people. Christians do some crazy stuff. Shouldn't do. We shouldn't do some things. But don't judge one person for everyone. A lot of people run under the banner of a Christian flag or something, or a church name, doesn't mean that they are a believer. Scripture says you'll know them by their works, by their fruits. And I also want to remind you that Christians still sin. We still sin. The difference is we're not out blaspheming God. A true Christian is over here confessing to God. There's a complete difference when one sins and the other sins. The bulls are a very scary thing. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that's going to go through that someday. Those This, it may be in this generation. It may be another 50 years from now. I don't know. But God knows. God, give us the word tonight as a reminder for us. Scripture says that there is a fear of God that is good and healthy. The beginning of wisdom and knowledge is to fear the Lord in the right way. It isn't that God is mean and nasty and ugly and trying to strike people down. God has done everything he could to save people. He keeps running after people. But there is going to be a time when he's done running and he's done chasing. He's done asking. And he's going to shut the door. It's going to be like Noah's Ark. The door is going to shut. And the rain is going to fall. But instead of rain, God's going to do it a different way. It's fire. It's going to burn it up. And people are going to suffer. But people will still continue to blaspheme God and not repent and say, I'm wrong. I need to get right with God. But we are in a time of God's grace right now where God would say, hey, come. Jesus says, come unto me who are heavy laden, heavy burden. He says, I'll give you rest. Come to Christ. Don't be afraid of Revelation chapter 16. If you're a believer, don't be afraid of it. If you're not, I'd be scared to death. I'd be fearful of it. And even if you can skim out of that, you're not going to skim out of chapter 19 or chapter 20. So I want to give an opportunity tonight.